This is the sound of your ride home with dad after he caught you vaping. Awkward, isn't it? Most vapes contain seriously addictive levels of nicotine and disappointment. Know the real cost of vapes. Brought to you by the FDA.
No matter what happens to your phone this holiday, whether it crashes down the chimney or gets broken like a New Year's resolution, Verizon's got you. Now's your last chance to trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a wonderful new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on Unlimited Ultimate and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's up to $2,000 in value. So you'll save big on three amazing Apple gifts only at Verizon. Service plan required for iPad and Apple Watch. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details. Apple Intelligence available now.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Ready to kiss this rock goodbye?
Depends where we're going.
Well, I have an old friend in mind. She's an expert on star maps, lost planets, that kind of thing. She'll find your home.
What about SM-33?
What about what?
Our droid. He knows how to operate and repair the ship.
We'll be fine without him.
He saved us.
Yeah, we need him.
We're not going back for a droid.
I thought the Jedi never left a man behind.
That's not... First, it's a droid. Second, that's not a Jedi thing, the Jedi say.
If you don't go, I will.
And me!
And me. We'll go together.
You try that. You'll be recaptured and back in the brig before you can say parsec.
But you can do it, right? You can do anything. Yeah. You're a Jedi, right?
Of course.
That's Star Wars Skeleton Crew. New episodes every Thursday on Disney Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
TV watchers in general have been crying out for yet another Star Wars series.
Well, you know, I think kind of hating on these Star Wars shows is a prime hobby of many of the traditional Star Wars fans. So maybe they're getting a special Christmas treat to kind of complain about something that really doesn't matter at the end of the year. Like, yeah, it comes on the back of the, shall we say, the flop nature of The Acolyte, the most recent Star Wars series, which for me was not a complete and utter critical flop. I thought it had a lot going for it. It was a bit slow at the start, but kind of for me it picked up a lot by the end. But it had the fanboys, shall we say, didn't really take it to their hearts and review bombed it and did all of the negative things that we associate with bad behavior online. And as a result, Disney promptly cancelled it, even though it was very clear that the creators of that show were planning on a second season. And here we are in kind of more familiar territory, even though it's on a brand new planet in the Star Wars extended universe. So by familiar territory, I mean that this is definitely inspired heavily by things like The Goonies, like E.T. We're talking 80s family movies of that kind of genre. And it involves a bunch of kids led by the most famous one is a voice in Encanto, the Disney Pixar animated thing, but unknowns, shall we say, who are growing up on this planet called At-Aten, which is a new addition, as I said, to the Star Wars extended universe. And one of them is a dreamer and kind of dreams of being a Jedi. And this is set roughly around the same time as The Mandalorian, which to me it means kind of very little. I'm like, when's The Mandalorian set? It's set after the events, I think, of the original trilogy and before the events of the sequel trilogy. And basically, these kids on this planet stumble upon a spaceship. And, you know, it has the typical Star Wars blue crawl of text right at the very beginning that tells us that this is going to be a show about pirates, about space pirates. And we open up with this action-packed pirate adventure in a very traditional Star Wars-y way. It's like kind of the start of A New Hope. And we see a pirate raid taking place that goes completely, notably, spectacularly badly for this pirate captain. And then the kids on this planet find a ship, which turns out to be a pirate ship, and blast off planet to get lost in space, to quote another well-known sci-fi show, and need to make their way back to the planet. Now, what they're trying to do here is obviously do a bit of a Star Wars meets Stranger Things vibe, as in we're going to build a show around a bunch of very young children and hope that adults will buy into this. But I would say, you know, Stranger Things, I think, is definitely made for older children, maybe, but adults definitely. And this is kind of towing the line of family entertainment. But bear in mind, it's obviously made by Disney, and that is their stock and trade. So it is more on the family-friendly side of things so far. And by that, I mean there's a bit of laser shooting and people being killed, but no gratuitous violence or anything like that. And so far, I found it actually very charming. Now, it is a romp. It is. It has that Disney money, right? So like everything that's going on in the background is an Easter egg for Star Wars fans. And even a casual enough one like me picks up a few of the references here and there. But all in, it's a fun romp, led by Jude Law, who only appears right at the very end of the second episode. So we'll feature more as we go forward this week. But all in, a very, very enjoyable, silly, not too heavy Star Wars show.
Yeah. So they find the spaceship. Miraculously, they know how to fly it, and then they get lost, and then they're going, "Oh my God, we can't get home! Can someone ring our parents?" Is it thing?
It's not quite that kind of thing, but yes and no, right? So basically, these kids stumble upon this buried spaceship on the planet, and our main boy is Wim. He's played by Ravi Cabot Conyers. He is the kind of dreamer. The whole time he's reading about Jedi and he's sketching Jedi when Irish actress Kerry Condon is walking around the classroom telling the students that tomorrow they're going to be doing this aptitude test. And when all that is happening, when they stumble upon this buried spaceship, a blue light is flashing and it's like Dougal in the cockpit, "Do not press this button." And of course, he succumbs to the temptation and they are jetted off. Now, the mystery, the hook of the show is that once the children blast off world, they make all these kind of references to, we're going to get past the barrier. And this is just sort of expressed, you know, as if we as the audience are supposed to be following, but obviously we don't. And they discover, having blasted off world, that nobody knows where their planet is. In fact, their planet is this mythical, El Dorado type world that suddenly the pirates are very interested in because nobody knows where it is. And it is supposed to be full of, booty for the plundering, shall we say. So that's the hook of the show. But we knew most of that from the trailer anyway, so that I wouldn't count that as any kind of major spoiler. But like, it is full of fun, youthful performances. If you liked The Goonies, if you liked, Flight of the Navigator, if you liked E.T., those kind of family-focused shows led by really good child performances, you are getting that here. They feel like real children, even if they are within the Star Wars universe.
Okay, and does it really matter that it comes after The Mandalorian or before the whatever? Is that important?
So, like, that's been my problem with other Star Wars shows, right? Like, if you watched, and I've watched all of them to the bitter end in some points. And some of them I have had to do on, deep dives on YouTube, watching reviews telling me the lore and what this means and what that is a reference to. And it's been like homework after the shows. So far, there is no sign of, there's a few cursory characters that have appeared in episodes of The Mandalorian, but they are background performers here, not anything major. But whether or not someone is going to appear that will tie it all into the greater expanded universe, I don't know. I'd prefer if it was just a funny family romp, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, our second show is The Sticky. You can stream all of season one now on Amazon Prime Video. Here's a clip.
I'm sorry, I'm with the Association Rural Québec.
Je suis pas stupid, je parle français.
Mm-hmm. Are you Ruth Landry?
No, I'm Jennifer Aniston. This is where I like to lay low. You're spilling my money.
Your farm's been shut down.
What?
And we're also confiscating all your previously harvested syrup.
What is it?
Well, you've been deemed a non-licensed operator.
Yeah. Well, who did this? Was it? Was this Leonard? It was Leonard, wasn't it?
All I need is a signature from your husband so we can clear this up if I can just speak with him.
Touch one more thing on my land and I will find out where you live and I will burn it down, and not just your house, but the birds and the squirrels and all the acorns and the power lines, the whole deal. If you think I'm exaggerating, you just ask around.
Right, so this is kind of roughly based on true events, James.
Roughly, right? So yes, in 2010, 2011, a bunch of Quebecois maple syrup farmers, or certainly in that industry, robbed from this federation of maple syrup. And it, to this day, remains the most financially lucrative heist ever in the history of Canada, that they were able to steal something like $18 million worth of maple syrup. But I always wonder, like, then what did they do with it? You know, right?
Yeah.
Right? So this is a retelling of that. But a very, very loose retelling. So in that story, you know, in the real story, they were ultimately found out and all arrested and all went down and are in jail to this day, I think, some of them. Whereas here, we are led by, you know, Texan Margot Martindale, who, as we heard in the clip there, is speaking a little bit of French here and there, but otherwise is playing this Canadian woman, Canadian maple syrup farmer, who is put upon by the local federation of maple syrup growers and farmers, and has run afoul of their leader, and there is a sort of like a cold war between the pair of them. And into her life comes the security guard of this federation, who is trying to, you know, rise up the ranks, but finding himself constantly put down. He's played by a Quebecois actor named Guillaume Cyr. And then Chris Diamantopoulos, doesn't sound particularly Canadian, but is from Toronto. He plays Mike Byrne, who's a kind of a Boston gangster enforcer who has been sidelined to Canada because of his failures so far. So these three hapless, not traditionally heisty people come together with a, you know, with a plan, and decide they're going to get their revenge on how, you know, or in both a narrow sense and a broad sense, and make themselves as gangsters and steal the syrup. Now, what I loved about it was, it was roughly 6.5 hours. So it is like a perfect short mess. You know, it is straight to the point. It gets to the point. But if you like something like Fargo, or that kind of like whimsical gangster heisting where, you know, things can go wrong and there can be a bit of violence and things can, you know, and people do end up bloodied from time to time. But most of it is about character work, humor, the interactions between people. And I found it utterly charming. My biggest quibble with it was that I was sort of expecting it to be a one and done kind of show, you know, like 6 episodes and done. I think it's clear that they kind of were getting good feedback and thought, okay, maybe we'll get a second season out of this. So it ends a little bit rushed, but with the promise of another season to come. And so far, all signs are positive, because it has been at the top of the Irish charts anyway on Amazon Prime all weekend. So long may it continue. But it's a very funny, very charming, really well acted kind of look at Montreal and Quebecois and maple syrup, which is not something I was particularly familiar with, but which I found very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, and who's Jamie Lee Curtis in it then?
So Jamie Lee Curtis is an executive producer, first of all. That's where she appears most of all. But she appears at the very kind of the last 2 episodes of the season as a gang enforcer who comes from Boston to figure out why their envelope collecting man has gone rogue, and to put him back to task. So she plays the heavy, really, the real gangster of the bunch. And when she shows up, she's having an awful lot of fun. It comes actually from Blumhouse Productions, their TV wing. And Blumhouse is, you know, this very successful B-movie, horror movie studio that has made every kind of schlock horror you've watched in the cinema or streamed online in the last 10 years. And I was kind of very surprised that they had, first of all, a TV wing that I had no awareness of, but rather a very credible TV wing, because their other hits include like The Jinx, Sharp Objects, The Loudest Voice. They make these really credible dramas, and I guess there's some of their fingerprints over this, but it is really worth seeking out. It's a nice treat for the end of the year.
Right, our third show is Game of Throws, Inside Darts. You can stream all episodes now on Sky Documentaries and Now TV. Here's a clip.
How about that 180-180 from the Grandmaster and the pupil?
He knows what to do with 50. Hit a 10. Hit tops. You win a leg. It's nothing when you're 16.
No one ever was thinking about Luke Littler last World Championship.
I think Barney's feeling eager to get legs on the board. And he does.
What I want and what I dream of is another title. I'm thinking, wow, I'm one of his heroes, right? It didn't seem to bother him.
Presumably this is, you know, to drive to survive type thing, to bring us into the thrilling world of fat lads throwing darts at a board.
I mean, yeah, 180 right there, right? Like you've hit the nail on the head, you've hit the bullseye, etc. Whatever tired darts pun I can throw in. Basically, yes, absolutely. It is darts' version of Drive to Survive, the very successful Formula One thing that has spawned numerous iterations in various different sports. And I am not a traditional sports fan by any means. I kind of enjoy the Olympics once every 4 years because there's a little bit of variety and a bit of nationalism and jingoism thrown in. But otherwise, I do not sit down to watch any sport. I found this absolutely compelling. It is a three-part documentary that explores last year's World Championships, which take place right at the end of December into early January. And to quote Barry Hearn, who is the darts promoter in Ali Pali, the Alexandra Palace in London, which, to be honest, I mean, it looks like a stag do. You know, the whole thing is like people in costumes, people neck and pints, shouting, singing, watching the darts. And last year's World Championships was particularly compelling because we had these number of narratives taking place. One of them involves this guy named Luke Littler, who is a 16-year-old prodigy, unseeded, who is taking out heavy hitter after heavy hitter, or I guess heavy thrower, one by one. Now, they go to extreme lengths to keep reminding you that he's 16. He must have gone into puberty in utero because he is like he is like a man, if I've ever seen a man, but he's still a 16-year-old prodigy. And then he's sort of paired off against Luke Humphreys, who is this very successful, he was the most successful darts player last year, had won every major tournament, but had never, ever won at this World Championships. And had like kind of completely undergone this metamorphosis physically, lost lots of weight, really dedicated himself to his craft. And then so we're watching them rise up and you know, having these kind of talking head interviews with them as they talk to us about darts. And like three parts is kind of perfect for this, if you get me. Like, I don't think it would sustain 10, shall we say. Mm. But like as a completely casual viewer, not even like as a somebody who knew nothing about darts beyond 180 and Aki, like for me, it was absolutely fascinating to see the mental part of this sport, right? You know, that you are so you're throwing this piece of metal and it's all about millimeters and doing it over and over again in front of crowds that are not quiet, that are like screaming and loud and boisterous and hammered, and all in, they make a really compelling case for how entertaining a sport this can be that I will only ever watch from this kind of vantage point.
Right, okay. That's our three shows today. Our Star Wars Skeleton Crew new episodes every Tuesday on Disney+. The Sticky, you can stream all of Season 1 now on Amazon Prime Video. And Game of Throws Inside Darts, you can stream all episodes now on Sky Documentaries and Now TV. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
No matter what happens to your phone this holiday, whether it crashes down the chimney or gets broken like a New Year's resolution, Verizon's got you. Now's your last chance to trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a wonderful new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on Unlimited Ultimate and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's up to $2,000 in value. So you'll save big on three amazing Apple gifts only at Verizon. Service plan required for iPad and Apple Watch. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details. Apple Intelligence available now.